but I think now would be a good time. We have a nice big bench. I don't know if I've said this particularly to this group or whatnot, but the holidays for a pastor, sometimes they're difficult to find sermons to preach on because we've preached on those passages already multiple times, but yet I have a desire, at least myself, to be fresh and new and relevant in my preaching. And so it's always a struggle, to preach on Mother's Day and Father's Day and Christmas especially. And I didn't really throw Easter in there because I'm always so excited to preach about the resurrection. I seem to always find good stuff for that. But at times it's been difficult. But Christmas time especially, get enough Christmas sermons to cover in the entire month of December. And you'll notice this morning was a little twist. I don't know if you noticed the twist that we sort of got you and pulled you in and then went back to Jesus is the eternal one. And we had fun with that, at least I did. But I don't know if you recall, last year I preached a sermon, the reason Jesus came to die, the reason Jesus was born was he came to die. Do you remember that? Something like that. And it was all because of our sin. And I had a couple come up to me afterwards. They were like, "We've never heard a Christmas sermon like that before." And they were, I don't know if they were just messing with me or what, but yeah. What, I can't think of a more appropriate comment to make tonight as we do communion is to recall that. Jesus was born as a baby so that he could die for our sins. And I just want to read a couple verses out of 1 Peter. It says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. What do you folks know about silver and gold? Aren't those the least corruptible things that we are aware of? I mean, if you need something to last, you make it out of silver or gold. If you don't want it to rust, if you don't want it to corrode, if you don't want it to fade, you make it out of silver or gold. And here God's calling silver and gold corruptible. Isn't that freebie there, okay? Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And as we come together tonight for communion, we remember what Christ did on the cross for us, his broken body, his shed blood, taking our sins upon himself. And we celebrate his broken body first, and we remember that. Whoever has a microphone, could you stand and thank God for Christ's broken body?
Heavenly Father, we are thankful tonight. We can just pause and just reflect on who you are. The Lord Jesus in that last night when he established this covenant in his broken body, we're thankful for this. We pray your blessing on this time in Jesus' name. Amen.
After Jesus broke it, he gave thanks and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Our Heavenly Father, we're just thankful, Lord, for you dying on the cross and shedding your blood. We ask you, Lord, to bless this cup to our bodies, Lord, the juice in our remembrance of your shedding your blood. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
One of the sermon series that I've always wanted to do, and And I always thought in my mind that I would do it on a Sunday morning, is this whole armor of God. And as it turned out and as things came about, I'm doing it on Sunday nights. And that's okay. Sometimes the Lord leads in mysterious ways, and I'm sure there's a reason for this. And we are going over this, Ephesians chapter 6, if you haven't found that in the scriptures yet. Ephesians chapter 6 is the whole armor of God. And as I was studying, I ran across sometimes preachers, commentators, they sort of, even though they're in book writing, sometimes it's like they're arguing with each other. One writes a book, and then a couple years later, another one writes a book, and there's this banter going back and forth. And it seems like one of the discussions that I'm constantly reading about is, it's like, well, which piece of armor is the most important? It seems like it's this discussion or banter back and forth. But you will notice in verse 11, what does it say? It says, put on the whole armor of God. Okay, so I guess that kind of eliminates the possibility that one's more important than the other. And then look at verse 13. Just in case we didn't get it, what does verse 13 say? Put on the whole armor. It doesn't say, well, you know, there's a priority that you put this, this, and then finally this. It says the whole armor of God. So this is very important. Last week, we started with this, the belt. We talked a lot about this belt in verse 14. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, this belt of truth. And we talked about what that girded up your loins and girded up your waist, the meaning of that. And it had a Hebrew meaning that the Jews and the Israelites would immediately think of. And in my research, it was actually this afternoon, I read that the Hebrew army still uses that phrase today. Obviously, in Israel, there is conflict there ongoing. They have to have a very strong military. And in fact, every young person, both men and women, at a certain age, you are required to serve at least 2 years in the military. Some people choose to stay in. Others choose to get out. In fact, my sister used to work with a young woman that was from Israel, and she changed oil on F-16s. I'm like, that sounds cool. Changing oil on an F-16. That's what I did for 2 years. And I'm sure she did more than that, but that's the way she described it, probably to be nice. But that they still use this in motivation tools as language to the Israelite soldiers. They tell them, gird up your loins. And it's fascinating that that phrase is still used, and it's in our Bible, and it's what we have. And this belt of truth, we learn that it is a foundational piece. Any soldier, any law enforcement officer, they need a belt. And they should be able to get the job done with just the things they have on their belt, at the very bare minimum, and that is what? Truth. If you know the truth of the Word of God, you should be able to go on through life. And we learn that truth is foundational. We learn that it's essential. And without truth, without knowing the truth of the Word of God, we will falter, we will fail. And furthermore, it's also this girding up is a signal that you're ready for battle. I know the truth, and I am ready for battle. Well, you'll see the next part of the armor is this breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. And I'm already out of order in my notes. Look at that. I better cross that off too. Put on the whole armor of God, something I forgot to mention. It doesn't matter how many years you've been a Christian. Doesn't matter how long you've been a member of this church or other churches. If you fail to put on all of it, you are actually planning to fail. A lot of people will argue, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 30 years. Well, if you want to achieve victory, you have to actually put on all the armor on a daily basis. Not, well, you know, I'm going to lean on these other things, my other merits. No, we have to put on the whole armor of God if we want to be victorious. All right, so now I'm caught up. Now the breastplate of righteousness. Where did Tommy go? Send them back in here. I did not have any Roman armor. I'm sorry. All I could get was I collect a lot of military items, modern military items, and I happen to have, this is called OTV. They call it an outer tactical vest. If Tommy's not available, Robert can come up here. Tommy, come up front. I need you. This is an outer tactical vest. It's made by a company called Interceptor Body Armor. And maybe you remember back in the early 2000s when we were first in Iraq, there was all this debate. I'll show you, okay? There was all this debate, and you remember even when John Kerry was running for president, well, you didn't vote for armor, and it was all this debate. And you will remember Interceptor Body Armor was all over the news. Maybe you don't remember. Maybe I only remember because I'm interested in that, and that's okay. And this is it right here, Interceptor Body Armor. You'll see it has a neck protector area, and there's Kevlar in there. That means if a grenade goes off or a bomb hits and there's shrapnel flying everywhere, the Kevlar protects against those fragments. It protects up to a certain size going like 4,000 feet per second in an explosion. And you'll see that there's other parts hanging down here, and there's this Kevlar on front and on back. And there's even, I didn't bring this part because it gets to start weighing so much, it's too heavy to carry. They have Kevlar that goes underneath your arm because guys were getting shot on the side. And the shrapnel was going into the side and penetrating the organs, and they were dying. So they added on another piece here. Well, then you'll notice that the seams here on the side where they come together, there's these buckles. Bullets, if you don't have this, the front overlapping the back, bullets were finding their way into the side and killing soldiers that way. So they added side additions, and there's armor plates that actually go in the side. Once again, I didn't put those on there because it weighs 25 to 30 pounds just as it is. We're going to have you put it on in a minute, okay? Hold on. But the Kevlar that's in it, it'll stop grenades, fragments. It'll stop pistol rounds up to a 44 Magnum pistol. But it won't stop a rifle. If you shoot Kevlar with a rifle, it'll zip right through it like a hot knife through butter. It'll penetrate the front of the Kevlar. It'll go through the person, and it'll go out the back of the Kevlar. Rifles are that much more powerful than a handgun. So what they've done is, I don't know if you can hear that. Can you hear that? It's pretty loud. What they've done is they said, well, let's throw in an armor plate. Now, back the Romans, the ancient soldiers, it was a progression throughout history. It was first they had like some type of hardened linen, then they went to a leather, and then eventually they went to a copper and bronze, and eventually it was iron and steel. Well, with steel, 5.56 round, the round that the military use, a 55 grain bullet is going like 3,200 feet per second. At less than 100 yards, that bullet will even go through steel. It's going so fast. At least, I mean, you could put a 2-inch thick piece of steel, but nobody's going to be able to carry that around. I mean, something that's feasible to carry, that'll zip through. So the military and different people, they created something called ceramic body armor, and that's what's in here. There's a chunk of ceramic body armor here, and there's a chunk of ceramic body armor there. And just to show you how much it weighs, Tommy, put your arms up. I'm going to put this right over your head, straight up. Can you put it? All right. Put it through there. Can you put it through the armhole? You got that one through. And the other one through. All right. Now, is that heavy? Try. Can you walk? Walk. Here, come on. Let's stand over here. We're going to stand on the pew. This is the only time you're allowed. Okay? Oh, my goodness. All right. Now, I brought this in case anybody else would also like to try it on. Is there anybody else that would like to try this on to see how heavy it is? All right, you ready? Oh, and there's another neat feature on the back of this. there's a handle in case somebody's injured or whatever. You can drag them into the helicopter, into the vehicle, and that's very sturdy handle. And if Tommy's wearing it, I want to pull him around. I can do that too. All right, you ready? Let's go down here. And I'm going to have this up here. All right, you ready? We're going to take this off. Can you do it? All right, I'm hurting your head and neck. Okay. All right. Thank you, Tommy. You can go ahead and go. Whatever you're doing, or you can hang out here. Stay here. All right. So that's a modern-day breastplate. That's the best that I could do. But it's very important. Even in ancient times, the breastplate was very, very important. No soldier would purposefully go to battle unless they had their breastplate. And my wife's brother, Mike Yakinen, we've been praying for him in the prayer sheet. He's been in Afghanistan for about the past year. And he got back, and over Thanksgiving, we went to Kentucky to Fort Campbell, and we saw him. And there's helicopters flying over. It's the Air Assault base and school and 101st Airborne Division. So he had to learn how to fly in helicopters, and they drop ropes, and he has to rappel out of a helicopter, and he's a chaplain's assistant, and everyone has to learn how to do it on that base. And there's helicopters flying over, and we went to his room, and in his room, he has two sets of these. Uncle Sam bought them. I can't afford two, but he has, remember I was talking about all those additions? He has what's called the improved outer tactical vest, the IOTV. This is just the OTV. And the new one has all the add-ons already there. And he has one in this type of camo pattern, which is for the United States and for Iraq. And he has the one in multicam for Afghanistan. And literally, like I was trying to say, it's very important to have that breastplate. He cannot go anywhere without taking that with him. He has to have those all set up and ready. It's not like you can have them disassembled and all the separate parts and, you know, I'm cleaning up. That's why he has two. If one's being cleaned or being worked on, he's got a spare. Because at a moment's notice, they may say, you got to go. We got to meet over here in an hour. And he'd have to have his vest, and he has two rucksacks, great big backpacks with things all over. He has two of those completely packed, ready to go in his closet. In fact, when we went into his room, it's sort of like a college dorm room of some kind. There's two men that share a bathroom, and they have separate rooms. The room was literally just big enough for a twin bed and a desk and a small dresser. And then he opened up another door. The closet was almost as big as the room because he has the body armor in there. He has the uniforms, and he has his backpacks in there, and everything's set up, and it's ready to go because this body armor, this breastplate, is so vitally important. Ancient soldiers and modern soldiers, just they wouldn't go to battle without the breastplate. But Paul, in his under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he calls this the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Now, is that talking about perfection? I think it's more talking about a right relationship with God, which is achieved how? Confession of sins. Thank you. Technically, we're going to take that a little bit more technical. We're going to call it distancing or separating yourself from sin. Okay, Satan wants us what? He wants us close with sin. He wants us intimately familiar with sin so that it's close to our thoughts, so it's right on the tip of our tongue, right? So that we can easily transition from living rightly to living sinfully. And getting close to sin is the opposite of righteousness here. What God wants us to do is push sin far away. And when we're pushing sin far away, we're getting closer to God, and we're separating ourselves from sin, and we're getting more righteous. Now, here's a thought or question. Righteous, is that talking about self-righteousness? No, it's not talking about self-righteousness. Our righteousness, self-righteousness, we'll always fail, won't we? So we live by Christ's righteousness. We're covered by Christ's righteousness. And in a nutshell, what it is it's personally striving to be like Christ. Putting on the breastplate of righteousness is individually and personally trying to live a holy life, is what this is talking about. It's obedience. Obedience to God on a daily basis. When you get up in the morning, when you put those boots to the ground, right? You say, Lord, I want to follow you today. I want to live for you today. I want to obey you today. I want to separate myself from sinful thoughts, actions, and ideas. That's what it means to strap on the breastplate of righteousness. And typically, I'm going fast because we have like 5 minutes left. I think we got done a few minutes early, so I got some time in my bank account.
I took extra last week.
Oh, he did steal all mine for a couple weeks, yeah. Typically, it seems like we try everything else but holy living. Well, you know, I'm involved in ministry. Well, I go to church. Well, you know, I'm just going to set up a counseling session with the pastor. And when the real problem's, you don't have a holy life. Your life is full of deliberate sin. Well, let me join a 12-step program, or there's this formula for spiritual success. One preacher said none of that stuff's in the armor. That's not part of the armor of God. You're not going to find victory with Satan over those things. You need real armor. One's the belt of truth. The other is the breastplate of righteousness. Separate yourself from sin. Get rid of sin. Well, you know, I want to try this method. Well, whatever happened to the idea of individual responsibility and personal holiness? Personal holiness. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. One pastor called all these other things, whether it's ministry, whether it's a program, a method, all these different things that people try and they avoid the real problem. He called that a paper breastplate. A paper breastplate. It's very thin. It's very lightweight. It's very easy to carry around. You know, I'm going to invite you to pick that up, or maybe I'll walk it by and you can feel how heavy this is. And that's only about half complete. Very heavy, but people, it's easier to carry around a lightweight, easy thing, a paper breastplate. But God says, no, put on the real thing. Put on the real thing. In order to live this righteous life and to be holy and set apart from sin, you have to get rid of disobedience. Not disobedience to me, not disobedience to Pastor Don. Okay, unless you're Krista, then you got to obey your dad. We're talking about obedience to God, right? Obedience to the things God wants us to do. We need to put off wrong attitudes. We need to push aside resentment or bitterness. If our heart has all these things inside of it, we need to get rid of that. Otherwise, you simply have paper breastplate. I don't think paper will stop much. I put that body armor on yesterday at the house, and I was kind of walking around the house trying to scare my kids, and I think what they did was they thought that was an opportunity to, now they can go get their toy plastic swords and actually hit Daddy. And it was like free range, and Tommy's like wailing on me and with this plastic sword, and it doesn't do anything because that's pretty heavy duty. But if I had a paper breastplate on, even a plastic sword would hurt. So we have to put on the real thing. Put on the real thing. Be like Jesus. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'm just going to read one verse really quick if I can find 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:11 says, Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And I think in context, the war is the same there. We have Satan just warring against us. So God says, put on this breastplate of righteousness. And then Peter says the same thing. Abstain from these sinful things. It's the same idea. Put on this belt of truth. Just be ready for war. Be committed to Christ. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Live a holy life. The secret to success in the Christian life and beating Satan really isn't a secret. It's commitment to God and separation from sin. Did you catch that? It's no secret. Separation from God, or commitment to Christ and separation from sin. I've heard you quote this verse many times. It's Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. That's that breastplate of righteousness. Acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So next week, we'll be moving on with the rest of, the next part of the armor. And if we don't get it all finished by Christmas time or whatever, we'll eventually finish. That's the great thing about the Word of God. It really doesn't matter how long it takes us to get through. It'll still be there waiting to teach us more when we're done. So I'll close in prayer as the song, piano, and stuff get ready. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to study your word. And Lord, we were able to have some fun tonight. I was able to have some fun tonight with this object lesson and sort of an illustration. But Lord, may we even be able to look past that illustration and see and reflect on exactly what the breastplate of righteousness is. And may it be true and alive and well in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.